Well, Oakland County Judge, this was a big ruling, has deemed the Oxford High School shooter eligible for a life without parole sentence. The ruling arises after Ethan Crumbly, the teenager, admitted to, you know, he was guilty to the fatal shootings of four students at Oxford High School. There was an issue here, a point of contention. Was he just too young to not give him a chance later on in life, or should he stay in prison for the rest of his life? The judge made that decision this morning.
Yeah, that's an awful lot of decades in prison, Tom, if he lives to your average age. You're talking about seven-plus decades in prison. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Good morning.
So how does it typically work? If you're a minor, then typically you do have a chance at getting paroled at some point, even if it's a murder offense?
Yes. So you minimum is anywhere between 25 and 40 years, not to exceed 60 years. So the court, if they didn't hold this specific hearing, we call it a Miller hearing just because that was the name of the case that went to the United States Supreme Court in 2012. The court has to, if the prosecution moves to sentence and requests this defendant to be sentenced to life without parole, has to hold this hearing. The prosecution has to prove by clear and convincing evidence to overcome the presumption that the juvenile should be sentenced to a term of years, not life without parole. And in this particular case, it was clear that the evidence presented by Karen McDonald was more than clear and convincing evidence. It was, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, if you ask me, that a sentence of this person, of Crumbly, should be life without parole. He acted like an adult. He had the maturity of an adult. He planned it like an adult. All things should come into consideration. He didn't act like a juvenile, didn't act like he was mentally ill, didn't act as though he was someone that didn't understand the consequences. He watched a video the night before and wanted to plan this out and then how long the police would take to respond. And the question really is to me that what the judge is going to do at the time of sentencing and the devastation of this case on the families and the school.
So the defense would say, look, he was 15 when this happened. Your brain isn't fully developed till you're in your early 20s. There's a possibility that he could be reformed in some way, rehabilitated in some way, and possibly at some time, a long, long time from now, he may be safe to be back in the community. Did the judge rule no, he's not, or the judge just ruled that that is a possible sentence now?
No, it's a possible sentence to life without parole. That's what the judge is ultimately, because he's convicted of that, that's what he's going to get. So the rarest of cases, and I agree with this, in the rarest of cases, should this be used, you have to show, and this is the buzz phrase for everyone to understand, is he irreparably corrupt? Is that mind so corrupt that it's beyond repair? And the courts in this particular case said yes. And that's why he now is seeking, he granted the prosecution's request to sentence him to life without parole.
Is that a hard bar to reach, to prove that someone is irreparable at such a young age?
I think it is. The factors that come into play from everything you can imagine, the upbringing, the maturity, his actions as far as how he did the particular crime, was it in haste or did he understand the consequences for what he was doing? These are difficult hearings, and I think, Tom, the burden showing by clear and convincing evidence, although not the highest burden in our criminal system, is one where should be used sparingly, and it is difficult to reach at 15, at the age of 15.
Yeah.
But when you know, 16, 17, 18, now we even have it up to 19 in certain particular cases, you have to request this hearing. And most of the time today, we find prosecutors don't seek this. As a matter of fact, it merits mention, Karen McDonald, I noticed out of 30 cases that came before her that were sentenced to life without parole, she reversed 26 of them. So she takes it seriously.
Yeah. So there's a lot of heinous crimes that are committed by a lot of young people in this country. To me, and I'll see if you agree with this, one of the things about this case that led me to believe that he deserved life without parole was the detailed premeditation that Ethan Crumbly showed in this. The evidence was clear that he had planned this out meticulously. That was one thing that convinced me, among many other things. But was that the strongest piece of evidence, do you think?
I think it was. I think it was. He had maturity to him, but that is, to me, was one of the plotting, the chance to think about this and to ruminate it in the brain and go over it and the plans. Yeah, it's really, really, I think, gives a strong piece of armor for the courts and for the prosecution to not give them a term of year sentence and possibility of parole. I think also the difference between a serial killer and Joe Sixpack is one inch, and that's a conscience. This kid didn't have a conscience. I mean, he started from a very early age, which was based on the evidence that came out in court of torture, of torturing animals, of wanting to torture other humans. He just doesn't seem to have that conscience. And, you know, to me, there's a pathology here that is beyond disturbing.
It'll cost about $2.5 million to house him for the next 70 years. That's fine with me. Do sentences like this, will this sentence bring a sense of justice and closure for the families?
I think closure. I don't think there is justice. I think there's some mercy. But at the end of the day, this is the valley of tears when you walk into that courtroom, as my mentor would teach me, because, you know, you have all these loved ones that have lost lives. You had all these people that will forever have this indelible imprint in their mind for which they have seen and had to go through. I think it gets closure because, to the extent that you can now say this chapter of dealing with this particular part of life is over, but you still have to walk through loss. You still have to walk through understanding the trauma and dealing with it through therapy and other things. It's an ugly sandbox that we live in, the people that practice criminal law on a high level. And this is one step of closure, but I don't know how you can define justice other than turning back the hands of time, for which we can't do.
No, that's well said. I think that was good that you couched it like that, because justice, how do you quantify or qualify justice in a case like this? I know that the chapter of the grief is going to be ongoing. There's another chapter, criminally speaking, the parents are going to be set up and they could be convicted as well. That could set a whole other set of precedents. Also, we don't have time to get into that aspect of it, but always appreciate your perspective. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good to talk to you, Todd. Thanks so much.
Gentlemen, thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend. We are going to check in with Fox News. We'll get an update from them.
Bill O'Reilly's next.
Yeah, up next it is. Bill O'Reilly is going to join us right here on I'll Talk with Tom Jordan and Kevin Dietz. This is 760 WJR.